The resolutions, the starting again, the reset, all of those things that we think about when we think about the new year. And Paul addresses that from an aspect of forgetting the things which are behind. And that's kind of where I want to go this evening. So starting in verse 13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. And so, as we think about the new year, maybe some may have written down some goals. You may have wrote out a plan or things that you might want to accomplish. You may have looked at some things from this last year and how you might want to change some things. A lot of times it's our physical appearance. A lot of people like to do diets and so forth at the new year. You'll see a lot of new gym memberships in the new year. Sometimes it's financial goals. Sometimes it's family things. More importantly, sometimes it's spiritual things, you know, wanting to spend more time in prayer, wanting to read the Bible more, being more faithful to church, or reaching out through some activity that the church may have. Now, I understand in this time that we're in right now, there's not a lot of outreach, there's not a lot of fellowship because of the limited contact that we've been having. But nonetheless, you know, maybe you have some spiritual goals that you want to reach for. And some things that you want to forget, some things that you might need forgiveness for. And it's really easy, amen. If we just confess and repent, we can restart, amen. And it's like that all throughout the scriptures. And we talked a little bit about that in Sunday school last year. Or not last year, but the last Sunday. So what we have here is we need to have a plan in place to move forward. Especially this new year. Things that we might want to accomplish. As an individual, as a church, as a husband, as a father, as a Christian. And I have to seek God's will because I want to be found in His will. And I want to know that I'm pressing towards that mark that the Apostle Paul was talking about here. And the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish in the book of Proverbs. If we have nothing that we're aiming for, we're aimless. And we're never going to hit that mark. The mark which he is talking about, pressing toward verse 14, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are to keep our eyes on that prize, that we are to press towards that prize, that we are to set our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. And so without a vision, we'll just flounder. We'll be like a boat at sea with no motor and no sails, no direction. How would we ever expect that we're going to get to our destination? How are we ever going to expect that anything is going to be any different this new year than it was this last year if I don't make any changes? Changes must be made. A destination must be marked so then we have something to aim for, amen? Something to aim for. We have to see and reach for something greater this year than we did last year. And the Bible gives us a lot of promises that if we ask, seek, and knock, we'll find. That if the Lord says in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Who knows what God has planned for you this next year? This year that we're in. And so we need to get on our knees and we need to pray and we need to seek God. God, give me a direction. Help me to be an overcomer. Help me to accomplish more this year for you than I did this last year. Give me a greater vision, a greater purpose. Because we, as we preached last Sunday, we want to leave a testimony behind. And every day we're being remembered for something. We did something. We spent that 24 hours doing something. Let's spend those 24 hours for the honor and glory of God in any capacity that we can. Let's not just let this year come and go with no change.
But let's be the change for this new year. Let's have a greater victory over our sin, over our unbelief, over our doubts, over our fears. Because if we don't address those, nothing's going to change. It's just going to be the same. Let's see our faith strengthened through exercising, amen? Again, the new year, and people like to work out. They want to get big and strong, or some want to lose weight. Well, mentally, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if I want my faith to be increased, then I need more of the Word of God, amen? I need some more of this right here. Some more reading, some more meditating, some more praying. We want to have success in this new year. And so we must stop and we must examine our spirituality gauge and see where we're at. Did we make forward progress this last year? Were we overcomers this last year? Because we have to address what may have taken place so we know where to make the changes so we can make the changes for the new year. Did I grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Was I zealous in any effort for God? Whether being in church, whether being an encouragement to somebody, whether being faithful with my tithes and offerings, being faithful to my Bible reading, being faithful to be a shining light in this dark world, on the job, at school, in the home. So let's take a look here tonight at a New Year agenda. We need to have a plan in place. And so the first thing we need to do, Paul tells us here in verse 13, he tells us that we need to, number one, forget the past. Now the past is always going to be there. We're always going to mentally know things that may have taken place in the past. We may even physically be able to see things that happened to us that have taken place in the past. But we need to forget those things which are behind. I have 2 points here. We need to learn from our failures and let them go. And we need to launch out for success, and we need to run with it. So firstly, we must learn from our failures. We need to let them make us better and not bitter. Wherever we felt like we failed God, failed our spouse, failed our children, failed our parents, failed our teachers, failed our pastor, failed our God, we need to address that. We need to not let our failures defeat us or define us, because we're so much greater than that, than a label that may have been given to an individual for whatever purpose or whatever reason. And you think that things are never going to change and they're always going to be like this now. And we just need to repent, amen, and move on. So we need to learn from those failures. Whatever it may be, negative, we can learn from it and make the changes. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 24, please. Proverbs 24. So we need to learn from our failures. Proverbs 24. Because, listen, a failure takes place in a moment in time. But the individual themselves is not a failure. Don't define yourself as a failure, because listen, we fail God daily, do we not? Maybe even multiple times daily. But I'm not going to define myself as a failure, because God doesn't define me as a failure. God defines me as an overcomer, that I can overcome those things that may have taken place in my past, whatever it may be. Proverbs 24, verse 30 through 34, teaches us that we can learn from the negative. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And this was his conclusion. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. And so whatever negative things that may have taken place in our life, or we can learn from the lives of others, which God has given us many individuals to learn from here in the Scriptures, amen? The Bible teaches us three ways: precept, promise, and principle. Principles are things that are taught throughout the Word of God. Precepts are thou shalt not, and precedence. Somebody did something, and this is how God responded to how they did that. And so we can learn from others. Experience can teach us things, but what the thing we need to ask is, am I learning? Or am I continually finding myself in the same predicament? Or in the same attitude? Or with the same mindset that is defeating me? Because again, listen, we can be more than conquerors in Christ, the Bible teaches us. We can have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us. And we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and we can have peace that passeth all understanding. But if we're not experiencing these things, it's not God's fault. We need to stop and ask, okay, why is this happening? Why am I acting like this? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians 4, if you're still there in Philippians 3, just next chapter over. Philippians 4, in verse 11, Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Again, what's the idea that we're trying to get across right now is, we need to forget the past, but first to forget the past, we need to learn from the failures of the past. And so we have to understand where we failed, why we failed, how we can turn it around. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says this verse here, which many of us can probably quote. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, God will give you the strength to do those things that are necessary so you can be successful in this new year. And when we're talking about success in the new year, what was that verse over there in 1 John? I thought I wrote it down. But he talks about, brethren, I want you to prosper as thy soul prospereth. Amen? If our spirituality is right, then things just seem to work out for us. It's time to forget the past. Those things that are behind, they're not in front of us. The Bible talks about the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us that we need to just let go of and leave behind us while we run in this race that God has for us. If I'm continually being dragged by something of my past, or if I'm continually looking to the past, I can't stay straight. I can't be in that straight and narrow. I can't have my eyes fixed on the target. You know, the first stripe that you put in your lawn when you mow, that's the most important one, isn't it? Especially if you start in the center somewhere. You try to stay so fixed on one object to keep that tractor straight. And then you know what? Then the rest of the lines just kind of work out. But you gotta keep looking forward. By the way, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom, Jesus said. God's been gracious, and God's given us another year, amen? And so we need to leave some things behind. There's no need to carry some of that baggage into this new year, because it's just going to weigh us down. It's just going to slow us down in this race. It's just going to continue beating us down. Many of us plague ourselves in our minds, and we continually beat ourselves up over and over again. It's time to just let it go. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Paul said. Hurt and pain that may have been caused by another, let it go before bitterness sets in. Sin that you struggled with, get the victory. Just get it right, amen? So not only do we need to learn from the failures, but we need to launch out for success, which is the opposite of failure, success, spiritual success. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1, Moses, the servant of the Lord, amen, has now died. And Joshua has to lead a group of individuals into the promised land. And they're going to have to face many battles, and there's going to be some trying times, and they're going to have to exercise great faith because they're going to have to cross this River Jordan that's in front of them. But look at the message that God gives Joshua. Let's start in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So we need strength and courage to walk by faith, he's telling us. But look what else it continues down in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. It's right here. It's right here in the Word. If we just learn to get more of this word in us and then to act upon faith, what God teaches us through his word, he's going to make our way prosperous and we're going to have success. Now again, that's going to be different for each and every individual. But he's commanded us. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Yes, he's speaking to Joshua, but let him speak to you tonight. He's commanded you to be strong in this new year, to have courage, to walk by faith and not by sight, to forget those things which are behind and to press toward the mark. Because you know what? They're about to start marching. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. That's God's desire. Success starts with the Scriptures, amen. Letting them correct us and instruct us. Because without correction, we don't know what we did that was wrong. And without instruction, we won't know what to do. We need them both, amen? We need to let them be our guide for the new year. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows me where I'm at and where I'm to go. We not only need to hear it, but we need to heed it. Amen. We need to be doers of the word. We need to trust him more and obey him more because we can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. Luke chapter 5, please. Luke 5. A great missionary once said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. But the problem is that nobody's attempting anything for God, and so nobody's seeing God do great things. The very last verse in Matthew chapter 13, I believe it's 58, it said, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because if you're not willing to believe that God is going to do something, why should he? How many of us tie his hands up and we don't see great things take place in our life because we don't believe? Luke 5 and verse 4 and 5. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And then we know what happened, amen. He let down the net. And he had such a great multitude of fishes that the net broke, I think. He trusted him. He trusted his word. Jesus gave him the word, and he did what he said. Now, he might have done it begrudgingly because, hey, listen, Jesus, I'm a fisher. I've been fishing all night. I know where the fish are at, and you're going to tell me to launch out again and to drop my nets? I've been doing it all night. But he did. It says in verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Look at what happened to Peter, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Why did he recognize his sinfulness? Because he realized his unbelief. The greatest sin that we can commit. Unbelief. Why do people go to hell? Well, because they're sinners, because they've murdered, they lie, they cheat, they steal. Yes, but they do those things. Why? Because they don't believe. This is the condemnation, Jesus said in John chapter 3. It's their unbelief. Turn to Luke 16, please. Luke 16. But so when we try God and we prove Him true, that just gives us more confidence to do more for Him, does it not? That just gives us more faith to want to do more things for Him. So let's not overlook even the smallest of successes, because they'll lead to greater successes. Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? We have a lot already that God has entrusted us with, that we need to take care of and we need to be faithful with. Amen? And if we're faithful with what God gives us now, He can entrust us with more. And again, whatever that might be. Remember the story of the 10 talents? We need to be faithful where we're at with what we have. Amen. Hey, Moses, what's in your hand? Well, it's just a stick. Well, look at what he did with that stick. What's in your hands tonight? So not only do we need to forget the past by learning from our failures and launching out for success, but we need to focus on the future. Go back to our text there in Philippians 13. Philippians 13. He said that he was reaching forth. This is faith in action. Reaching for something. Keeping our eyes on the prize, the Lord Jesus Christ, following in His steps, following His example, trying to be the best that we can be for the Lord. So we need to focus on the future. Look at here. Whoops, I'm in the wrong book. Philippians 3 and verse 13b. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. There's a marked difference if we're reaching behind or if we're reaching in front, amen? Wherever our head is going, oftentimes our body will be going. And wherever our hands are going, oftentimes that's where our head's going. Our body's going to go in the same direction. And so when Paul's talking about reaching forth, he's dedicated, he's devoted to this one thing, he said. This one thing I do. I'm going to forget. And I'm going to focus. And I think we need to do that too. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this: Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin with which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. Are you looking unto Jesus tonight? You see, if we're not looking unto Jesus, we're not looking above. And you know what? Peter was able to accomplish something great when he got out of that boat and walked on the water. Why? Because his eyes were on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off and he saw the wind boisterous and the waves, he began to sink. Listen, you'll never overcome your circumstances and your situation unless your eyes are on Him. Amen. Keep your eyes on the prize, the Lord Jesus Christ. If our eyes are not on the prize, the Lord Jesus Christ, then what do we have to look forward to? What are we looking at? We're looking at what's going on in this world. And you know what? What's going on in this world right now isn't pretty. You know what? It's going to make you depressed. It's going to make you angry with a righteous indignation. It may raise your blood pressure. May cause you to get aggravated. Because, I mean, listen, this world is not my home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so I want to keep my eyes on that. I want to stay focused on that. Because if I'm not, then I'm looking down at all that's taking place here. And it has nothing to minister to me. We're in this spiritual race, as he's talking about. We have this cloud of witnesses watching us, and we're running this race, and we're striving in this race, and we're supposed to lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and we need to run this race, and we need to stay in the boundaries, and we'll cross that finish line, amen. God will make sure of that. We'll cross that finish line. Look here in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul gives that illustration. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. He says, listen, if you're going to run, run. Amen? Run that you may obtain. Verse 24, know ye not, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians 5. So there's this race that we're running in, amen. It's a spiritual race. And there's going to be obstacles in this race. There's going to be hardship in this race. There's going to be trials in this race. But listen, as long as we're focused on the finish, everything that's taking place around me is not going to defeat me. It's not going to dominate me because I'm in control of my spirit. And I'm directed. I have a vision and I'm directed because I've already forgot those things that have taken place in the past. I've learned from them what to do, what not to do. And I'm now successfully reaching forth. Galatians 5, in verse 7, here's a good question. You did run well. Hey, maybe some of you ran well, but this last year, you stopped running. You started walking. Or you took a break on the sideline. Well, the coach says it's time to get up, amen? It's time to get back in the race. It's time to keep running. Who did hinder you? What hindered you? That you should not obey the truth. And you know what is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. And when we're not running in the race, we're not obeying the truth. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith is doing what? Acting in accordance with what God says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen, that which I'm reaching forward. So we need to focus on the future, amen. That's the point we're trying to get home right now. Focus on the future. We're not to look nor live in the past. Too many people live in the past, and they're still carrying around the weight and baggage from last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or early childhood, or wherever it may be. But it'll get you off course. It's destructive. And so we need to not look nor live in the past. We need to focus on the future. We need to have a vision, amen. We need to prioritize. We need to just take a moment to think about it and then address it, amen. Turn to Genesis 19. We just have one or two more verses and we'll close. Genesis 19. So let me ask, do you have an agenda? Do you have a plan? Or is this year just going to be maybe the same as last year or all the other years because, you know, it's always the same. Things never change. Well, things can change, amen. But how do they change? When we change, amen. For things to change, we have to change. For things to get better, we have to get better. Genesis 19 and verses 16 and 17. You remember the story here? Lot. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, even though he was kind of being hard to deal with. Say, listen, we're going to destroy this place. It's time to go. Let's get out. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Well, what happened? Verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. She looked back. Why look back when God is telling us, listen, children of Israel, there's nothing left for you in Egypt. The world, it has nothing for you. It cannot minister to the deepest desires of your soul. Yes, it may feed your flesh and feed the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, but it's not going to minister to your soul. No reason to look back, because you know what? Too oftentimes when somebody begins to start looking back and they keep looking back and they keep looking back, what happens? They go back. So keep your eyes on the prize, amen. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 6. So lastly, 4 John, amen. 4 John. So forget the past, focus on the future in 4 John. Just press, amen. He says, press in Philippians there. I press toward the mark. Yes, when you're pressing against something, that means there might be some opposition at times. And yes, we just need to keep pushing, amen, and keep pushing. And it's going to be tiresome, and it's going to be hard. Life is hard sometimes, amen. But God is greater, and all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Remember, it's His purpose, not our purpose. Press against the opposition. Forward progress. Keep moving. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Don't put on the brakes. Go fight, win. Amen. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and he goes on and talks about the different doctrine and stuff. But the point I'm trying to make is he says, let us go on. Listen, it's time to leave some things, and it's time to go on and to press. And we need to press on. We need to stay in the straight and narrow. We need to be like Gideon's army, amen. And when they were so tired, the Bible says, and they still pressed on, even after going all night long, they pressed on to go take care of Sisera, was his name. They fought. They pressed. Moses, 40 years in that wilderness, he just kept pushing, and he kept going, amen. Joseph, and all that he went through, he kept pushing, he kept going. Daniel, in the opposition he faced, he just kept pushing, he kept going, he kept living for God. David, when he knew that he was to be an anointed king, but yet he had to flee and run for his life from Saul and then from his son, he just kept pushing and kept pressing. And then what about Jesus? The Bible says he set his face like a flint to go towards Jerusalem, and he pressed all the way up to Mount Calvary, where there he suffered, bled, and died for you and I. He pressed towards that mark. And if he pressed towards that mark with the joy the Bible says that he did, so he could die a sinner's death in our place for our sins, can't we press on just a little further? He went all night, the Bible said. Jesus did. After being shamefully entreated, mocked, spit upon, beaten, whipped, crucified, buried, rose again for us, amen. And he's just asking us to, as Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Let's do something greater this year than we did this last year. God's not doing anything. Am I doing anything? Maybe God wants me to take that step first, and then I'll see Him do something miraculous. Do you know what's interesting? Last point, we'll close. The children of Israel, and we were there in Joshua 1, but it's in Joshua 3, when they get to the River Jordan there, they encamped there for like 3 days before they crossed. They were preparing themselves. He said, sanctify yourselves. He said, listen, you're going to see God do something great tomorrow. But they only saw God do something great when they first had to step out by faith. Why do you say that? The waters didn't part and then they went in. The priests had to get all the way into the water before God stopped that water from flowing. So maybe God's waiting on you, wanting to see you exercise your faith. Would you exercise it for him? Would you do something for him this year? Do something for yourself. Do something for your family. Do something for your church. Something great. Amen. Let's forget those things which are behind. We got an agenda. We got a plan. We're going to put into practice here, and I'm going to press towards that mark. Forgetting those things which are behind, pressing towards, I'm going to keep forging on. Amen? Amen. Go fight, win. Let's stand this evening. We'll have a time of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, if he's challenged you by the scriptures, there's an altar. You can come and pray. You can stay in your seat and pray. But do something, amen? Let God work on that heart. Harden not your heart, the Bible says. Listen, if you hear his voice today, harden not your heart, the Bible says. But open it. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're still dead in your trespasses and sins and God's been dealing with you and he's been knocking on your heart's door. Maybe it's time to repent and believe the gospel. Maybe it's time to give your heart to him. You can do that tonight as we sing.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials.